Our Lord, in it, during his ministry, uttered a phrase over and over and over again. And I guess until I started thinking about this and studying it, I didn't really realize how often he uttered this phrase. And it should make us ask ourselves a question. And we're going to study that question a little while this evening, and we'll look at that phrase in just a few moments. But I want you to ask yourself the question this evening, how well do you listen? And I don't ask that question because I'm speaking to you this evening and I want you to listen to me. It has no bearing on it. The question is much deeper than that. How well do we listen? Do you listen well? That's a strange phrase. We don't hear that phrase much, but do you listen well? What that means is, do you put effort into it? Do you try to listen to the Word of God especially? You know, we understand that in our personal lives, we have trouble listening. It doesn't matter whether you're in church or whether you're at home, whether you're dealing with your kids, whether you're dealing with someone else's kids, whether you're dealing with your neighbor, whoever, from time to time, we have trouble listening. Each one of those pictures tells a story. And they really may tell different stories. We know what he's probably thinking. I just don't want to hear it. Mom, I don't want to hear it right now. We've got a young man down here that's a young executive. You know, maybe he just came out of college. Maybe he thinks he knows everything. And he really doesn't want some old codger like me telling him what he thinks he already knows. You ever done that? Now, he's physically covering his ears, but in fact, he's just tuned out. He's not listening. This guy up here is kind of going to his happy place. He's got several people in his ear. He's thinking of something far, far away. He's not listening to what they have to say. And this guy right here is what I have referred to as he is physically not listening. Now, when we talk about not listening, you can do it mentally or you can do it physically. He is physically not listening. He's turning the remote up to the point that he doesn't have to hear what's going on. And we do all these things. We do it to each other. We do it when we're in church. We do it when maybe we're studying with one another about the Bible. You know, if you don't believe me, you get on your smartphone and you get you an audio book, or better yet, you get the Bible. You can get that on an audio form on your smartphone. And you get you some earbuds and you put them in your ear and you turn it up loud as you want to turn it, and then you go about your daily business. You know, when you're not doing much, when you're driving along, you may hear a lot of what's going on. You may hear a lot of it. But as soon as your job or whatever requires you to really focus on a particular thing, it doesn't matter how high the volume's turned up, you don't hear it. And you realize later on, I haven't heard anything that's been said. I can even do that reading the Bible in bed at night. I can get the Bible physically in front of me and I can read the words in my mind, and pretty soon I'm off chasing butterflies and unicorns and chasing rabbits down holes and realize I'm to the end of the chapter and I don't remember what I read. You see, the human body can do that. We can tune things out. How well do you listen? Our Lord said in Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's the phrase. He said it over and over and over again. He said in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous come forth, shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see, he said it over and over. When he's speaking in Revelations to the seven churches of Asia, in every letter he ended with a phrase similar to that. Now, why That seems, especially when you're a kid, I remember being a kid, hearing that phrase, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a strange phrase. Why would anybody say that? Of course, if you have ears, you'll hear. And as we got older, we began to understand that's not necessarily true. But what the point is, Jesus is telling us here, I'm about to tell you something important. Listen up. Listen to me. I've either told you something important or I'm about to tell you something important. So we need to open our ears and listen. In Mark, the 4th chapter and 25th verse, the Bible says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now you may say, what's that got to do with listening? I wonder how many people misunderstand this scripture. How many people do you know thinks that that is the manifestation of the old saying, the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer? I mean, read it. If that's the only scripture you read, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. That's exactly what that means, isn't it? People that have are going to get more, and people that don't have anything are just going to get poor. In fact, I'm not sure that's not where that old phrase came from, is that scripture, a misinterpretation of that scripture. But then if you read verse 23 and 24, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. There it is again. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall be given more. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. He's talking about knowledge. He's talking about understanding. When we listen, when we hear, when we strive to understand the Word of God, we're going to receive knowledge. And we're going to get more knowledge. And that's going to lead to more knowledge. But if we ignore what little bit we have, it's going to deteriorate and it's going to blow away and we're not going to have any. That's what that scripture means. So how important is it to hear with our ears, to listen well? This illustrates a problem that Jesus saw in his day and it exists today. Many people just don't listen. Or they don't listen intending to understand. You ever talk to someone that's not listening to you? Charlene says she does it all the time at home. I don't know who she's talking about. The kids moved out, so I don't know who it could be. Talk to someone that's not listening. You can see it in their eyes. Maybe even more important than the fact that they're not listening to what you have to say, you can see the wheels turning in their mind and they're trying to formulate a response to what you're saying. I don't care what you're saying. I'm about to respond to you and I'm going to knock you down. That's what they're trying to do. That's not listening. And we see it all the time. We deal with people all the time. I've done it myself. I'm sure you have too. The importance of listening, listening to one another, listening to the Word of God. Many people don't appreciate the importance of it. It concerned Jesus, and I think it should concern us today. I think it would be appropriate for us to ask ourselves, how well do we listen? We talked this morning, Brother Matt did, about examining ourselves. This is an area we need to examine ourselves. There are three distinctive types of listeners in the New Testament. The first being the one who is dull of hearing. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 and 11 that there were those among the Hebrews that were like this, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. That's an interesting phrase. Why would it be hard to say something? Especially for the writer of Hebrews. Why would it be hard for him to say something? Well, that's not exactly what that phrase means. It sort of is and it sort of isn't. And that's how how hard it is. That's how little ability I have to explain something sometimes. But that is actually what it's talking about, how hard it is to explain something. The word hard to be uttered means literally it's hard to be interpreted or hard to be explained. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the Holy Spirit didn't have the words to explain it? It was so difficult that he couldn't properly explain it? It's hard to explain. Do you think that the writer of Hebrews said, well, I've rewrote this 10 times and it still doesn't make sense? That's not what it's talking about. You know why it was hard to be explained? Seeing ye are dull of hearing. You ever try to explain something to someone that really doesn't want to understand it? They really don't want to hear it. You teachers, I know y'all have many times. Try to explain something to someone that really doesn't want to understand, has no desire to understand. Have you ever tried to explain Mark 16:16 to someone? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's not hard. It's not hard to find the words to explain that. Try to explain it to somebody that don't want to hear it. Then you understand why it's hard to be uttered. Try to explain Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Well, yeah, you gotta repent, but you don't have to be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What part of that is hard to understand? But if you don't want to understand it, you won't hear it. That's not listening well. The problem's not with the person trying to explain it. The problem's not with the material. The problem is with the listener. Isaiah wrote of people like this in his day, and Jesus took those words of Isaiah and he applied them to people of his day in Matthew 13:13-15. Jesus said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Verse 15, for this people's heart is wax gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. You see the importance of hearing and listening? These people had an opportunity to be converted and be healed, and they passed it up because their ears were closed and their eyes were seared over with their sin and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen. The Bible says they were dull of hearing. Don't you think that's probably what happened? And as Saul was on his way to Damascus, we have two records of Saul on his road to Damascus, one told by Luke and one told by Saul himself. Many people smarter than I am will tell you that there is a direct conflict in these two writings, Luke's writing and Saul's writing. The conflict being this. Luke writes in Acts 9:7 about Saul on his road to Damascus. He said, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. Luke says they heard a voice, but they didn't see anybody. Now Saul writes in Acts 22:9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Direct conflict, right? That's what it seems. Luke said they heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. Saul said they saw something, but they didn't hear anything. You know what happened? It's just like me. I heard something, I saw something, but I don't know what it was. You see, their eyes would not allow them to see that it was the Son of Man. Their ears heard something, but they didn't understand what it was. Their ears were seared over, and they couldn't understand it. We may hear the truth, but we can't see it because of the sin in our life. That clouds our eyes. Or we may look right at the Word of God, but we can't see what it's telling us because our heart's seared over. This is the way people are today. And that way, we all are that way because we have a dull heart, if we're that way. It prevents us from understanding God's truth. It prevents us, by not understanding God's truth, from turning from sin to God. It prevents us from being saved and from being healed, simply because we will not open our ears and close our mouth. You know, there's an old saying that if your mouth's open, your ears are closed. And it's really true. We wouldn't want to be this type of a listener, would we? The second one is those with itching ears. And we certainly see a lot of people like this today. Paul describes these in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." We know people that want to hear what is pleasing to them, don't they? That's people with itching ears. They want to hear what is pleasing to me. Don't bother to tell me about my sin. Don't bother to tell me about what I need to change. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me how much God loves me. Tell me how good God is. Tell me how much He doesn't want anybody to suffer. Tell me how He won't allow any punishment to be dealt out. Tell me how good I'm living compared to other people. That's what I want you to tell me. You know what I want you to tell me? I want you to tell me fairy tales. That's a fable. That's what I want you to tell me is fairy tales. Is this the type of listener we're going to be? These people were not approved of by God. They don't like sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the kind of preaching that Paul mentioned to Timothy. They're back up in verse 2. "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Timothy, you preach the word when it's popular, and you preach it when it's not popular. You preach it when it's convenient, and you preach it when it's not convenient. That's what Paul exhorted Timothy to do. And that's not what people want to hear today. They want to hear fairy tales. You ever notice anymore how hard it is when you're having a minor disagreement with someone? I mean, you just look at the news. People want you to agree with them. And that's all they want. They want you to agree with them. If you won't agree with them, they get mad at you. That's people that have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. And many people are afflicted with that problem. And then there are those who hear with an honest and good heart. We find these in the parable of the sower, as Jesus speaks of in Luke 8, verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word and keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So here we have people that hear. They hear. They actually hear. They actually listen to the words being taught. They have an honest and good heart. They want to hear it. They have a desire to hear it. The Bereans were also this kind of a listener in Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they have received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Readiness of mind, if you look at the translation of the New King James, means fair-mindedness. In other words, they were willing to give Paul a fair hearing. They were willing to close their mouth and listen to what he had to say. And that's the type of people we need to be sometimes. We need to close our mouth sometime and listen to what other people have to say. Now, the Bereans didn't automatically just accept it. The Bible says that they searched those scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul was speaking to them were so. So they did their due diligence, but they were willing to give him a fair hearing and listen to the words that he had to say. This should be the type of listener that we are. And I hope it is. Why is it so important? This is what got very interesting to me. Why it's so important to be a good listener. Have you ever thought about the fact that it's essential to being blessed? If you're going to be blessed, you have to be a good listener. For those willing to listen properly, there's a lot of wonderful things to learn. The Bible says in Matthew 13, verses 16 through 17, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." You ever thought about that? You know, I think about Daniel and King David and Ezekiel and Ezra, Jeremiah, and I think, man, those guys, how strong in the faith they were, the things they endured and overcame, and I have so much admiration for them. It's very humbling to look at that scripture and know that there are prophets, there are righteous men that would give their right arm to have what you have. They never got to see the promises that you've seen. They never got to see the fulfillment of the Son of God. They never got to see the day when the simple baptism through the blood of Jesus Christ could wash away sins. They never got to see it. Religion to them was very taxing. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of diligence. It took a lot of expense. It took a lot of finances. They would have loved to see the days that we get to see. That ought to be very humbling to us. Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Amen to that. All the blessings we have, we're so blessed today. And if we don't listen to the words of God, if we don't seek them out with due diligence, what are we missing? How much are we missing? The blessings that we miss just because we won't open our ears and listen. It's essential to a saving faith. God has ordained that we should be saved through faith. Now we know that it takes effort as well. We know that there are things we must be obedient in. We understand that. But faith is where it all begins. If we don't have that faith, then we do nothing else. We don't go forward from there. Paul said in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Without faith, we don't get anywhere. We don't make any movement towards a Christ-like life if we don't have faith. How can we have faith if we don't hear the Word of God? How can we believe in something that we have not heard? We're told that in Romans chapter 10, verses 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You can't. You can't believe in something that you have not heard about. Verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to open our ears and hear the word of God in order for that word to produce faith in us. You know, you can gain a lot of faith by reading and studying the word of God. That's true. And that's valid, and that's something we should do. But in the very beginning, probably that spark of faith is most likely going to come from someone saying something to you. The Word of God being mentioned to you in some way. That's probably where that spark of faith is going to come from. Just listening to someone else. One reason faith is often lacking is because people are just not good listeners. It's hard to listen. It's hard to focus. It takes work. It's an area that I'm very lacking in. But we miss out on the evidences in God's Word that produce faith when we're not good listeners. So I ask you this evening to examine yourself. Is your listening good? Do you listen well? It's essential to bearing fruit. Have you ever thought about that? Listening and bearing fruit, seems like that would kind of be opposite, wouldn't it? In the parable of the sower, I want you to notice something about the soil. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with repentance. The only ground that produced fruit was the heart. None of the rest of them produced fruit. The wayside, the thorns, the stony ground, none of it produced fruit. The only one that produced fruit was the heart. It was the good and honest heart. A good and honest heart that listens to the Word of God is the only ground that will produce fruit. It's because they have understanding. It's because they have knowledge. Have knowledge of what God wants for us. Look at Colossians 1 and verse 6. Which is coming to you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day that you heard it and knew the grace of God. Fruit was produced in Colossians and the people of Colossae. But look, it wasn't produced until the day they heard the word. When they heard the word and they received that word and they knew the grace of God of truth and they understood it, then it produced fruit. That good and honest heart produces fruit. Only by listening well can we understand God's grace and be motivated to bear fruit. It's essential in avoiding rejection and condemnation. That's a pretty important thing, isn't it? Just listening can help us avoid rejection and condemnation. The Bible says in Acts 13, beginning in verse 44, and the next day, and the next Sabbath day, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw that the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. My question to you is, who rejected and who condemned here? Paul said, you judged yourselves unworthy. You judged yourself unworthy. The Lord didn't judge you unworthy. Someone else didn't judge you unworthy. Paul said, because you won't listen to the word of God, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Are you going to do that? We can be guilty of the same thing today. If we won't listen to the word of God, we, by the same example, judge ourselves unworthy of everlasting life. We reject God and we condemn ourselves. Hopefully we appreciate the wonderful opportunities we have and appreciate the ability we have to listen to God's Word, the importance of listening well, how to prove our ability to listen. That's something that we should strive to do. Just a few examples of ways to help ourselves learn to listen better. You ever thought about making listening an act of worship? Think about that for a minute. We sing songs. We offer prayer. We have teaching. We have the Lord's Supper to help us examine ourselves and to consider our Lord and the sacrifice He's made. Those are all wonderful, valid tools we have in worship. But have you ever thought about offering God the gift of your listening to worship? Have you ever thought about God being pleased with you for listening well when His Word is being taught? That's a gift you can give God. That's a worship you can offer to Him. To listen well when His Word is being taught. To give it a fair hearing as the Bereans did. When you have opportunities, do you offer your listening as part of worship? You know, Tim asked this morning, what if Jesus came to our town? What if the Apostle Paul let us know that he was going to be in this building next Sunday? And we could validate that. And it was true. And the Apostle Paul was going to be here. You think we'd have any room to sit? Think we'd have any open seats? That doesn't offend me that the crowd is not that big this evening. But that's the attention we should give the Word of God. It doesn't matter who's presenting it. If it's the Word of God, it doesn't matter who's presenting it. We should give it our full attention. We should give it the due respect that we owe it. It is the Word of God. It's God speaking to us. We so many times want God to speak to us. And He does. And He has. And we don't listen. You know, there was a man I knew had come to know a few years ago. Real nice gentleman, and he went through some real hard times here recently. He had a bad car wreck, almost killed him. And he spent a lot of time recovering from that, and he was searching for some answers. And he got on Facebook one day, and he said, "Does God speak to you? And if so, how?" And it wasn't a trick question. He honestly wanted to know what people had to say on that regard. And I don't usually respond to things like that, but I felt like I should, because it was pretty obvious that he was looking for an answer. And I told him, I said, "I think God does speak to us. And I said, I think He has said everything He's had to say on the subject. And I said, I think you find it in the Bible. And it's up to us to look for it. It's up to us to find it in there. But I said, I think He spoke on the subject, and I think it's in the Bible." And I don't regret that. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm going to tell you something. I might as well throw the can of gasoline on a lit match, because there was a lot of people did not like that answer. "Well, I don't believe that everything is in the Bible. I don't believe that God has said everything that He's got to say on the subject in the Bible." Yeah, He has. Are you listening? He's talking all the time. If you're listening. Doesn't matter whether it's me or Pat Manning, and I understand there's a difference. But if it's the Word of God, it should be listened to. Read along in your Bible. Read along on screen if it suits you. But read along when people are reading Scripture. It helps hold your attention, helps you focus. You know, we use visual aids, and one of the best visual aids there is the Bible. When you're hearing and you're reading at the same time, you retain a lot more than just one or the other. So I'd encourage you to do one or a combination of or all of these things. Listen with faith. It's the Word of God. It's God speaking to you. Listen with faith. Listen with a willingness to accept it, even before you hear it. If it's the Word of God, it should be accepted. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was this gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word of God preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Them, who's them? Them are the children of Israel. Those that wandered in the wilderness. The Bible says that the word preached did not profit them. Why did it not profit them? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. When you hear the word of God, mix that hearing with faith that it is the word of God. If we don't listen with faith, the same thing will happen to us. It won't profit us. It didn't profit them. Listen with a mind to act, a willingness to act. You know, this may be something that is one of the most left out things. Even people in the day of Ezekiel had problems with this. In Ezekiel 33, verses 30 and 32. "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the house, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear the words of the Lord, but they will not do them." They hear the words of the Lord, but they will not do them. Goes on and says, "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." You ever listen to music on the radio? A lot of times you hear a song, boy, that's a catchy tune. And then you listen to the words and you say, whoa, that's not good. That's kind of what the people here in the day of Ezekiel were doing. They said they were excited to hear the Lord, to hear the words that come out from the Lord. It was like a lovely song, a pleasant voice, played well on an instrument, until they actually heard the words, and then they said, no, we don't want to hear that. But we should want to hear the words of the Lord. Do you love to hear a sermon because of the speaker? We've all got our favorite speakers. Certainly we do. But is that the determining factor? Finding out who's speaking? Hearing must be accompanied by doing in order to have any profit. James tells us this in James 1, beginning in verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any by hearing hear of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man holding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Do you see the recurring theme here? Hear and do. Hear and do. If we listen with our hearing and we mix that with faith and then we do, we're blessed. We'll be blessed. I hope our goal in listening is to do it well. You know, in order to be blessed, it all begins with listening. It all begins with hearing. How important, then, is listening? When it comes to listening to God and the Word of God, it's very important. The book of Matthew tells us in Matthew 11 and 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." How do you know about that rest, that blessing, if you don't listen? How important is it? Seems like it's very important. Seems very important to me. It's essential for the good of our soul. Today, mercy has been offered through Jesus Christ, through God's Son. That's how mercy has been offered. Salvation has been offered us through Jesus Christ. Look what God said in Luke 9, verse 35. "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Hear him.'" Listen to him. When you hear the Word of God, do you listen? Do you listen with reverence for words, the Word of God? Do you listen with the attitude that this is God speaking to me? This is God speaking to me, the wretch that I am. Have you heeded Him by obeying His Word? Or have you been like Jesus says of those in Luke 6, and 46, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We call on the Lord. We open our mouth, but we don't listen. We don't listen to what He has to say. Does this apply to you?